these. Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days or to do evil? To save life or to kill? Now basically the Lord's saying, you know, good things happen on the Sabbath day, bad things happen on the Sabbath day, right? So you know, it's going to happen either way. People are going to pass on that day, and people are going to live on that day. People are going to get helped and healed on that day, or maybe not. But they held their peace. They didn't know how to answer the Lord most of the time. He outwitted them all the time. But they held their peace, verse 5, and when he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. So as soon as he obeyed, we saw this Wednesday night too, as soon as he obeyed the Lord, he was healed, right? As soon as he obeyed the Lord, the blessing came. And then verse 6, and the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. They were mad and upset with the Lord. They didn't like that he was breaking their Sabbath. He didn't like that he was breaking their traditions. And he wasn't breaking the law of God. I mean, Jesus never broke the law of God. If he did, he sinned and he couldn't be our Savior. He never broke the law of God. He broke their traditions. And he was upset with their hardness of heart, their lack of compassion. They were rigid and they were strict, and it was all about their rules and keeping the rules and thinking they were pleasing God, but they were not pleasing God at all, and they were just annoying a lot of people by what they were doing, and they were looking that they were against Jesus, and Jesus knew it, so he gave them something to get upset about, if you will, by healing that man. Let's pray. Dear Father God, direct us in our thoughts tonight, and I pray, Lord, that we'll be able to preach this and give some things this evening, Lord, that will be a help, and I ask it in Jesus' name, amen. I want to preach to you tonight on go forth with the Lord. Go forth with the Lord. Jesus and the Pharisees, he always had constant controversy with the Pharisees. Now, even leading up to this, he had already done some things on the Sabbath day that they didn't like, just walking along, picking the corn because they were hungry and eating a few kernels of corn as they went on their way, which was allowed. But Jesus and the disciples did it on the Sabbath day. So they said, you're working, you're harvesting, you're breaking the law, which they were not. The Lord was just breaking their traditions is all it was. So there was constant controversy. They supposedly taught the law. They were the ones who supposedly upheld the law of Moses. They were the religious leaders. They were the elite Jews of the day. They were the religious leaders. They were the Pharisees and the scribes. That was sort of the group that led in the religious proceedings there. But when Jesus came along, he was preaching. He was teaching, he was doing miracles, he was claiming to be the promised Messiah, and they gave him nothing but resistance. They were envious, they were jealous, they didn't like the following, they didn't like the crowd. He was a threat to their system, but their system was supposed to be the same as his. God's system, right? That's what it's supposed to be in. You know, they were the ones that should have been trying to please God by helping the people, but they got all, they became so religious and so caught up in their rituals and their rules and their laws and their legalism and all of that, that they forgot about following the Lord and pleasing God to the point that they resisted and rejected the Son of God. When the promised Messiah finally came, instead of rejoicing and telling the folks, behold the Lamb of God, follow him, they kept saying, no, don't follow him, follow us. And then they were plotting behind the scene how they could get rid of him. And of course, you know, he ended up going to the cross, and they were the culprits behind all of that. The Bible says he came into his own, and his own received him not. Why? Because he was a threat to their system, their crowds and their following and all of that. And the Bible says here, Jesus became angry with their hard hearts. Can you imagine that? The Lord became angry. You ever get angry? That's what we call righteous indignation, right? When you get mad at sin, you get mad at and angry even at false teaching and false cults that are leading people astray. It's okay to get mad at that stuff, right? Don't go be violent. You know that. The Bible doesn't teach you to do that. But it's okay to get upset with the devil, right? And the deception that he's putting people in and the bondage that he's putting people in. So it's okay to get upset with that. The Lord got angry with them, the Bible says, and they got mad at him and rebuked him for helping and healing, especially on the Sabbath day. That was work. It's hard for me to imagine this. You know, you're a healer. You do miracles. That's, you know, they didn't even say that's amazing. They're like, okay, you're a healer. I mean, stop and think about what you're saying here, that man's a healer. He can heal people. Well, isn't that good? Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that kind of godlike? Isn't that kind of pretty amazing? And they were like, okay, fine, you're a healer. We'll take that. You just can't do it on the Sabbath day. That's against God. They were a little bit, religion had made them a little bit crazy, hadn't it? Right? You can heal, okay, you can help people. And by the way, couldn't the Lord have said to the man, they're in the synagogue, there's time for worship. The Lord could have said to the man, hey, meet me tomorrow at, such and such a time, and I'll heal you then. But there was no need to do that. The Lord didn't need to wait to do it tomorrow. But you notice the Lord, as he was dealing with him, he was speaking to them. He knew what they were going to do, and he knew what they were there for. They're supposed to be there to worship, but they're watching him, the Bible says, to see what he's doing. So they were religious without compassion. Isn't that a contradiction? If you're going to be religious, there ought to be some compassion. Amen? Sometimes we can get so hard and harsh and rigid till we forget to love people and we forget to help people, right? And the Lord is loving. The Lord is love, right? Y'all with me tonight? Amen. Y'all good on that? And the Lord wants us to love people. The Lord wants us to help people. And the Lord wants us to pray for people. But here they were challenging the Lord. So the Lord said, well, I'll challenge you back. Ask them a question. They couldn't answer it. He said, well, here, let's do this. Let's go ahead and heal this man. And they got very, very upset about it. So he gave them a reason to ridicule by healing the man. Well, as you know, all of these cases like this are a type of salvation, a picture of salvation. You got a man here with this paralyzed hand. He can't do anything with it, nerve problem or whatever it is that he has. He cannot use that hand. It is a withered hand. It is just useless to him. The Lord sees him. The Lord points it out really focuses his attention on him, and he talks to this man, and he knows that they're watching about what's going on. But the man is helpless. The man is needy. The man can't do anything to help himself. Folks, that's a picture of you and me as lost sinners. Poor and needy and helpless, and nothing we could do to save ourselves. Nothing we could do to stop that train to hell that we were on. Nothing we could do but look to Jesus. Amen. So as always, these are real accounts, but they do picture salvation. The Lord would touch them and help them and heal them as they put faith in him. As they obeyed his word, put faith in him, that's the same way you get saved, right? And the Lord would restore them and make them whole. So as the man couldn't help himself, he obeyed the Lord and the Lord helped him. You could say he went to church that day, met Jesus, and his life was never the same again. Hadn't that happened many times? Amen? Has your life been changed by a church service, perhaps, by being in the house of God and being under the preaching of the Word of God? Probably changed many times. Amen? But many people go to church, they can meet the Lord, they can hear the gospel, and their lives be changed forever. Boy, he's a picture of that, and that certainly happened. All right, let me give you three thoughts today. There's three phrases I want to point out to you tonight in this text. Number one, I want to say this. We need to stand forth. Stand forth. I say going forth with the Lord. We need to stand forth. You notice in verse 3, he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, what did he tell him? Stand forth. Stand forth. A couple of things that could mean. One it is, it just means stand still. Or it might even mean step forward. Either way, whether the man is to step forward, he stands before the Lord. Stand forth. He could step right there, right in front of Jesus, probably right in front of everybody. Stand forth, right there. You know what, folks? That's how you get saved, right there. When the Bible says, when the Lord says, he calls your name and he tells you, stop running. Because all we like sheep have gone astray. And we run from the Lord. We were running from the Lord.
And there came a time in our life when the Lord got our attention and the Lord called our name and the Lord drawed us unto Himself, and we just had to be still and know that He is God. You know, the world's running so fast today that they're just running from one thing to another, and they don't have time just to stop and look up in the sky and say there is a God. They don't have time just to slow down long enough to go to a church service. They don't have time just to slow down and read some scripture, spend some time in prayer. But there comes a time in our life when the Lord calls our name, draws us unto Himself, when we just need to stop and recognize who He is and that we need Him. Amen? Stand forth, He said to this man. And I'm glad that man obeyed Him. I'm glad that man listened to Him. There's no more running to be done here. You need to just stop. The Bible says in Exodus 14, Moses said unto the people, "Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." What do we do here at the Red Sea? What are we going to do about this? You're not going to do anything. You're just going to stand still and watch God work. That's how you get saved. Just stand still and watch God work. That's often how you deal with your problems too, isn't it? Wait on the Lord, and you just stand still and let the Lord handle it. Amen? Have you ever had to do that before? Well, I feel like I got to do something. I feel like I got to save myself. I got to do some good works to get myself there. Or you as a Christian think, well, God, I got to do this and I got to do that. And God's saying, I want you to do what you can, but there's some things you cannot do. You just need to slow down, stop, stand still, and let me handle it. Amen? You've done that before? It's hard to do, isn't it? We want to feel like we're doing something. We want to feel like we're contributing. But sometimes God, and that's fine, God wants you to be busy in His work. But you understand what I'm saying. There's sometimes God just says, hey, you need to stop right where you're at. Aren't you glad when He called your name for salvation, you stopped and looked up to Jesus and said yes? Aren't you glad whenever He came and got your attention and He came by your way, instead of just running on, you stopped and looked up to Jesus and said yes by faith? Amen. Aren't you glad you did that? Thank God for the day that we did that. But let me say this right here. Stand for Jesus as well, unashamed. Amen. This man standing there before the Lord, and when the Lord calls you out, you know, we tell people oftentimes, when you get right, get saved, you ought to come before the church and make a public profession. Let everybody know you're on Jesus' side. You know that's what baptism is about? Get up in front of everybody and just stand there. Let everybody look at you, right? We do that when people join the church too, right? Isn't it a wonderful thing? Just get up front and let everybody look at you like y'all do with me right now and making me nervous. Somebody ought to say amen and help me out. Amen, right? But sometimes you just have to stand up at work. You have to stand up at the job. You have to stand up among the family and say, I'm with Jesus. I identify with Him. You going to stick out? I know. Yeah, that's right. You're going to look different. But sometimes we just got to stand forth and stand still and stand with Jesus and stand up for Jesus. Amen? We do need to go forth with the Lord, but sometimes we just need to stand still with the Lord. I think we fail right here so many times. People get saved, and we say get baptized. We say you need to make a public profession. You need to identify with Christ in the church. And this is where so many people fail, because they say, well, I'm saved, but then they become like Nicodemus, a secret disciple. And they don't want to tell anybody at work they're saved. They don't want to tell their family they're saved. They don't want to show up at church or get before the church and get in the baptistry. They want to just kind of keep it quiet and keep it to the self. That's not what the Lord said. The Lord said, go tell it on the mountain. Amen? Right? We need to go tell the whole world. We need to be witnesses. We need to let our light so shine. Right? I read, and this was some time back, I read this report. A church reported that over 15 years, they had like 15,000 people saved. In 30-year period. Do the math on it. It's a lot. It's a lot every week. 15,000 people saved over a 30-year period. Less than 5,000 of them got baptized. That tells a story. What that means is there was a whole lot that didn't follow through, is what that means, right? Look, the numbers of people that get saved, I hope they did get saved, but I'm telling you, you got a third of that number, only a third, that followed the Lord in baptism. I do know when it comes to soul winning, You can get a lot of people say yes to Jesus, say, I want to get saved, but you don't find a lot of them showing up at church. I've prayed with people before that just never came around and never showed up. And they'll tell you, well, I'm saved. I prayed the prayer. Well, praying the prayer doesn't save you. Trusting Christ and committing your life to Him saves you. Amen? Don't get caught up in the fact that you prayed a prayer if you didn't trust Christ. That's the way to get saved, right? But we need to stand forth with the gospel. Don't be ashamed. Hey, invite somebody to church. Give out a gospel tract. Witness. Tell people how to be saved. Live right before them. Live different before them. Send forth the gospel with faith promise missions. Amen. You can put it in the plate. You can mark it on there. You can say, here's my tithe and here's an offering above my tithe. I want to help the missionary. You're sending forth the gospel when you do that as a church. Amen. Right? And we ought to do things like that, and we ought to be doing that. I gave you this the other night. I'm going to give it to you again on why be a soul winner. Why should you be a soul winner? He that winneth souls is wise, right? You ought to do it because it's wise. You ought to do it because people are going to hell, and we need to win them. You ought to be a soul winner because Jesus wants you to. You ought to be a soul winner and a witness every day because the devil doesn't want you to. Right? If the devil says don't do it, I better go do it. Amen? You heard it before. Well, if that crazy politician's against that guy, he must be pretty good. Amen? Right? Y'all understand that? If that liberal right there doesn't like him, then I do. I'll go vote for the guy. Amen? Well, if the devil says I don't like him, I'm going to say, well, I'm going with that guy. Amen. If the devil says leave it alone and don't do it, I'd say I better go do it. Amen. The devil says don't pray, don't read your Bible, don't go to church, don't witness anybody, I better go do all of it because that's what the Lord wants me to do. Amen. And the devil says, don't witness to that guy. Don't give him an invitation to church. Don't give him a gospel tract. Well, Jesus said you ought to. I think we ought to do it because of the joy of soul winning. There's joy in the presence of angels, in the presence of God over one sinner that repenteth. Amen? There's joy in soul winning. There's joy for the soul winner. There's joy for the person that gets saved. We ought to do it because it's the mission of God for the church. We ought to do it. We ought to be a soul winner. We ought to be a regular witness. We ought to stand forth with the gospel right here in our church and in our daily lives because it keeps us clean and it keeps us on track. You go out and start telling people about Jesus, they're going to start looking at your life. And you got to have a life to back up the witness. Amen, right? Got to have a life to back up what's coming out of our lips. Y'all with me on that? We need to do that. You ought to go soul winning and witness to people every opportunity you get because of the spiritual blessings it brings. The Lord told this man to stand forth. He told the man to do what he needed to do to get a blessing. And you go out here and you tell people, hey, you need to stand still and let me tell you how to be saved. Now, you don't find many people wanting to stand still and listen to you out there in the world, do you? They'll tell you, I don't have time for that. I was just up the road here some time back and knocked on a door, and young man there, and I didn't get far into it. He said, I ain't got time. I don't want to hear it. He knew where I was headed. He knew what I was going to do. And I said, well, look, buddy, I know you don't have, young guy. I said, I know you maybe you don't have time right now, but I hope you'll make time for Jesus. There comes a time in your life you need to stand still and listen to it. Amen. So we know the battle. If we're trying to tell people, do what Jesus did and say, would you please stand still for a moment and let me tell you what the Bible says about how you can be sure of going to heaven. They need to stand still and listen to it because they're not going to hear anything more important than what you're telling them right then. Amen? Thank God there was a day you stood still and listened to it. Be still and know that there is a God. Thank God there was a day you listened to it. We just need to stand forth and let God work. We need to stand strong and let God work through us, right? So he told the man, stand forth. Stand still. Don't run. Get saved today. Let me change your life today and you can be a witness from here on, right? So we all should just stand forth. Isn't that what he told the man in verse 3? Stand forth. Well, let me say this, number 2. You should also stretch forth. That's what he told the man as well there in verse 5. He said to the man, stretch forth thine hand, and he stretched it out, and his hand was restored, whole as the other. Stand forth, that's how you get saved, just get still and listen to God. And then you stretch forth. What is that? There needs to be some spiritual growth in your life now that you're saved. Now that you stood forth, stood still, got saved, now you stretch forth and go forth with Jesus. He stretched out his hand. You know, it might have been a little uncomfortable to do that. But he obeyed the Lord and he did what he was supposed to do. You know what, folks? It gets uncomfortable following Jesus, doesn't it? It gets uncomfortable when the Lord tells you to get out of your comfort zone and do something for him. Amen? Right? The Lord wants us to do some things for him, and sometimes it gets a little bit uncomfortable for us to do the things that the Lord would have us to do. He wants us to stretch our faith. Someone has said discipleship is not the excitement of the moment, it's the patient continuance in the footsteps of Christ. So you stretch forth, you stretch your faith, you grow in the Lord, you follow in his steps. That's discipleship. Following the Lord, growing in the Lord, growing in your faith. And there's more to being saved than just stand still and get saved and be saved, right? Now you're going to stretch your faith. Amen? It's sanctification now. It's a picture of that. Stand still. Listen. Get saved. All right. Now get busy living for me. Well, I'm a little uncomfortable about that. Now go get baptized, get in the church, get involved in a ministry, go out and witness for me. Trust me with your problems. Now you're stretching, amen? Now you're growing in your faith, right? You see that? God wants us to stretch forth. We have to do these things, and may God help us. You know, I think if this man would have been like a lot of people today, he'd have said, well, you know what? Lord, no thank you. This hand's fine. Been like this for a long time. I kind of got used to it. You know, I'm a little uncomfortable about stretching it out. Don't get me out of my comfort zone. I'm used to it right here. I bet you he didn't do that. Amen. He's listening to the Lord. He's got hope. He knows this is a miracle worker, and he begins, and he doesn't really know what's about to happen. He doesn't even know if he could do it, but he begins to, and boy, he gets out of that comfort zone. He gets it out there, and man, something happened. He got restored and made whole. Restored meaning it used to work, and now it works again. Amen, right? In his case, it does. Well, Lord, you know, I would serve you. I would live for you. I would get involved in ministry. I would go out and witness to people. I know there's joy in it. I know that you're blessed. I know it's good, but I ain't too comfortable with it, Lord. I think I'll just hang out right here with this problem. I've had it for a long time. I've learned to cope with it. I think I'll just go on dealing with this problem instead of stretch it out and give it to Jesus. Amen? If you'll stretch it out and give it to the Lord, he'll bless you for that right there. Amen? Let's stop telling the Lord that we'll take care of it ourselves. Amen. You know, the Bible talks about Noah and Abraham and Jacob and Joseph and Daniel and Esther and Nehemiah that we talked about this morning and the disciples and all of this. And the Bible says the things that happened unto them for in samples, they were written for our admonition. They stretched forth, didn't they? They went and got out of their comfort zone. They followed Jesus, and they did the things that the Lord told them to do. When he said stand still, they stood still. When he said stretch forth, they stretched forth. And we look at their lives, and we say, you know what? That's how you live the Christian life. That's how I need to be doing this thing as well. And we need to be stretching our faith. There's saving faith, there's sustaining faith, there's stand still faith, and sometimes there's stretching faith. Has God ever stretched your faith? Has God ever got you out of your comfort zone? Has God ever put you into something that you're like, Lord, I'm trying to follow you, but not that. I'm trying to follow you, and now you tell me to get in the choir. I don't know about that. Trying to follow you, and now you're telling me to go witness to somebody on the job. I don't know about that. Hey, we got to stretch our faith sometimes, amen? Trying to follow you, and now you're telling me to give a tithe to the church? I certainly don't know about that. Well, that'll stretch your faith, amen? Give to the Lord. Amen. It'll stretch your faith. It sure will. You know, it happens when we read our Bible and we pray and we get under the preaching, we get involved in the service, we just live for Jesus in daily life. Well, I'll tell you, folks, if we get comfortable in this old world and we're feeding on the world instead of the Word, we're not stretching our faith at all. Kind of like the little kid, man, it was time for... It was time for Thanksgiving dinner, and Mama calls and says, hey, it's ready, come on, it's ready. And all the kids and family comes in,
And boy, the turkey's there, and the what is it? Your dressing is there, and your green beans are there, and your rice is there, and your gravy is there, and your collards is there, and your pie is there. Amen, right? And boy, everybody eats, and everybody just eats till they can't eat no more, except for one little kid sat there and just crying. He'd filled up at junk over at the neighbor's house all morning, and now he ain't got no appetite for that, you know? That's kind of like Christian people do sometimes, though.
The Lord said, hey, I want to feed you with my word, and I want to get you involved in service. And we're so involved over here with the world, we don't have time for the Lord. We're so comfortable staying in our sin that we don't want to confess it, admit it, get out of it, and follow Jesus. We don't want to stretch forth. Hey, stand still. Stand forth, stand still, get saved, but then stretch forth and serve Jesus. Amen? Get out of your comfort zone. Do what the Lord would have you to do. And get busy growing, stretching forth, being used of God. Right? Amen? Y'all with me so far? He told him to do both of those things. He told us to do both of those things. So not only are we to stand forth and stretch forth, but number three, I want to say this. Let's pray for those who went forth. It tells us that in verse 6, and the Pharisees went forth. All right, he told the man to stand forth. He told him to stretch forth. But the Pharisees went forth. You know what that means? I ain't got time for him. I'm not going to stand still for him. I'm not going to stretch myself for him to get involved in what he's doing. They went forth. I'm going my own way, my own thing, doing my own thing. I don't have time for him. You know what, folks? We need to pray. There's a lot of people that have heard the gospel. You tried to witness to them yourself, and they just went their way and rejected Christ. This is a sad, number three is a sad group. They're religious. They just went forth and decided, let's figure out how we can get rid of this man. Have you ever witnessed to somebody and just watched them say, no, thank you, walk on? How about the rich young ruler in the Bible? He did the same thing. How about the prodigal son who left the father's house and he went forth out there into the world? I tell you, folks, it's sad. You know what? We need to start praying for these folks who just want to go forth on their own. All we like sheep have gone astray, and there's some people out there, they don't want to stand still, they don't want to stretch their faith, they don't want to get involved with the Lord. They just want to go their way. Walk away. Keep walking from the Lord. That's a sad, sad group right there, isn't it? You know, on the cross, Jesus was stretched forth. One thief stood forth when he paid attention. And the other went forth out into eternity without salvation. You know, I think these that will stand forth and pay attention to the gospel, and those who just went forth and ignored the gospel, you know, that represents the two groups that are in this world, those who receive Christ and those who reject Christ. Those who will stand still and let God speak to their heart. You know, it's kind of like invitation time, altar call, and we just say, stand still, stand and bow your heads, listen to the music. The only movement you need to make is if God's dealing with your heart, you come to this altar, get before Him, still and quiet, right? But you know, you got a lot of folks who are like, I can't wait to get out of here. I can't wait to get out of this place. They just want to go forth, right? You might have done that before you got saved. There might have been a lot of times whenever you might have been in church and under conviction and hearing the gospel, and you're like, I'm not going to that altar. I'm getting out that back door. I'm getting out of this place as fast as I can. That's what the Pharisees were doing. We don't want nothing to do with this. You know, that message to that man to stand forth and stretch forth really was a message to them too. But the Bible says they just went forth. Rejected Christ. I'm glad Jesus stretched forth on the cross. Amen? I'm glad one stood forth and thought about it, paid attention, and listened. But then that other one, he went forth out into eternity without salvation. That's the choice everybody makes right there, isn't it? That's the choice that everybody in this world is making. It's a sad thing to go forth and reject Christ. A.W. Tozer used to tell a story about this governor
out in the Midwest in one of the states out there. He disguised himself and he went into the prison for a day. He wanted to see the conditions. He disguised himself. He goes in. He talks to the prisoners. He found this one young man that he really liked a lot. He seemed to be a likable young man. He got interested in his case. He wanted to hear a story. And he was thinking about, this may be one I would pardon right here. And he says to the man, he said, well, tell me something. Let's just say the governor came by and pardoned you, what would you do? He said, the day after I got out of here, I'd go kill the judge that sent me here. So, of course, he ended the conversation and left the man there. But you know, the truth of the matter is, folks, there's a lot of people today that are ignorant and running away from the one who could save their soul. They don't want to stand forth. They don't want to stand still. They don't want to stop running. They don't want to stretch their faith and get involved in this right here. They just go forth. Walk away. Walking away from the only chance they have for eternity. And we need to be praying for those people. You know, the Bible says that the Lord was angered at their hard hearts. Do you know some folks that have gone forth? You might know folks that used to sit in church, sit on a pew, might have been in Sunday school with you, and you're wondering where they are now. They went forth. They're out there somewhere in the world. They're not living for Jesus. They didn't get what you got, right? Somebody, you know, they're out there and they're living in sin and they're telling you, I got saved. And you saying, you ain't got the same kind of salvation I got a hold of. I'll tell you that. You know, you say you got saved, but I see you living in sin. You, the Lord got me out of all that. Amen, right? But you know some folks, they went on out. Used to be in the church. We know a bunch of them. They used to be involved. They used to be in it. And we know some that have just, like these Pharisees, gospel hardened. Hard against Christ. I'm not going to listen to you. I'm not going to stand still. I'm not going to stretch myself to give it a chance. People say, give Jesus a try. They say, no, I'm not even going to stretch myself to even think about giving Jesus a try. Sad. So sad. But you know what people with hard hearts need? They need prayer that will soften that heart. You know, do you believe there's some people out there today, they're hard, you know them, you might be in the family, you might be married to them, I don't know, you might be close to them, you may work with them, and they're hard, and they don't want to stand still, and they don't want to listen to it, they're just going to walk on and see how they can destroy Jesus and everybody following him. Hey, you keep praying, the Lord, through prayer, God can soften that heart right there, amen? Don't you believe that? You remember that valley of dry bones? He told the prophet, you go preach to that crowd. Why do I want to preach to a crowd of a bunch of disjointed, dead skeleton bones? Because the power of God can bring it back together. Because the power of God can soften those joints and bring it all together. He did it. Amen. He did it in there. Brought forth an army. Amen. Right? Amen. Yes. And people today are dead men walking until they get saved. Then they're walking with Jesus, walking with God. Amen. I'm just saying, you know some of these people that have walked on and they got hard hearts, just like this crowd right here had. But you don't give up praying for them that God can soften that heart. Because God quickened and made alive that valley of dry bones. The Lord can do that. That's a picture of salvation too, right? Hey, it might be somebody's church might be a valley of dry bones and needs revival. He can do it. Amen. Pray for God to soften hearts. Those that went forth, I feel for them. You know, I'm glad we read about it when we go through the book of Acts. You read about some of the priests that got saved. They you know what? They watched the life of the Apostle Paul and they heard the message and some of them got saved. Amen. Might have been some of these people right here. At this point, they rejected him. But at some point, God softened their heart and they received him. So some of those priests did. Could have been some of these Pharisees right here. I don't know. That old hard-hearted Roman soldier. Boy, after they crucified Jesus, he went off and said, surely this was the Son of God. Something happened here and he decided, you know what? I need to just stand still and contemplate what in the world happened here today. that was the Son of God. I think that old hard soldier got saved. And he heard Jesus on the cross say, "Father, forgive them." He might have been right there nailing, right there ready to get him with that sword. And he said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do." And he walked away and said, "I ain't never seen a crucifixion like this one." That old hard heart got soft. Amen. He stood still, put his faith in Christ. He stretched forth. Amen. But he watched some others as they went forth. Probably prayed for them. Probably tried to talk to them and say, "Hey, y'all don't need to do that. Y'all need to come back here and listen. Y'all need to come back here and stand still. Y'all need to get in on this thing." But some of them said, "No, I'm not going to do it." And they went forth. Folks, I'm saying you and me tonight, we need to just go forth with the Lord. You stood still, He's stretching your faith. Amen. And you pray for those that are going the other way. You know a bunch of them, don't you? You're close to a lot of them. Keep praying for them. But you keep going forth with the Lord. Amen. And God will help you do it. Would you bow your heads with me this evening, please? May God help us with this. Thank God for His Word. Father, thank You, Lord, for this picture of salvation here tonight. Thank You for this picture, Lord, of just standing still and, Lord, letting You stretch our faith. But, Lord, also the picture of those who just walk away. And, God, I pray You'd break our hearts for those that walk away. And, Lord, I pray that some of those will come back. Some of those will be restored. Some of those will be saved yet. God, there's some on the prayer list of these dear folks. They've got lost loved ones on the prayer list. Lord, I pray, God, You'd soften those hearts. You would speak to their hearts to the point that they'll stand still and see You for who You are and get saved. Lord, speak to our hearts. Meet the needs of the congregation now. And I ask it in Jesus' name this evening. Let's stand and our heads are bowed. Some music plays. This altar is open if you need it tonight.